Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective, and more affordable than you might think. Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Control and 603-283-6160 is the phone number. That is 603-283-6160. And on Free Talk Live tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Colin, Silver Dave.
And I would like to thank Scott Hughes for being a gold level amplifier with us. We really appreciate that from Scott. An amplifier is somebody who helps to advertise, market, promote, and support the show. And if you would like to learn more, learn about some perks and benefits you can get for becoming an amplifier, you can go to amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. So thank you so much to Scott Hughes. We really appreciate all of our supporters. But I'm going to go straight into you guys' phone calls and thoughts. Peakless Mountaineer, a co-host of ours, is on the phone. Peakless, did you have a question for Silver Dave or a comment on our conversation here?
Yeah, I wanted to talk to Silver Dave. So you were in the Army, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Now, so you know the danger of overestimating your opponent, right?
The danger of overestimating your opponent. I think it's not as bad as underestimating your opponent.
Well, sure, sure. But, like, there are a lot of, say, opportunities that you might miss. If you're like, no, I'm sure that he has guards there. Of course he has guards there. I can't go that way, so I'll go this harder way. Like, if you overestimate their abilities, you won't take advantage of the situation as it is.
Okay.
Okay, so...
Well, do you want
exactly what you're doing here with, like, you obviously don't have, like, the technical expertise to really speak to that. But you're just kind of assuming that there must be some hidden backdoor somehow, in spite of all of the people looking at the code, in spite of the obvious reward for finding any kind of backdoor like that.
So the backdoor can exist in a place where they know you're not going to look. And because in a moment, I'm getting ready to explain just one more backdoor that's so obvious and that basically ruins everything that people think that Bitcoin or Monero is secret or untraceable.
I want you to get into that, but I do really like the topic that Peakless Mountaineer is getting onto here. I think that a lot of the times, like, people like who are probably definitely right about a lot of things and skeptical of the government, which is always right to be skeptical of the government. I think a huge problem that they have, and my parents did this a lot as around me as I was a kid, is overestimating, oh, they can do anything. So it makes you hopeless. Like, oh, well,
yeah,
I see
libertarians, anarchists doing that all the time.
Yeah, the government has all the power to ruin our lives. They can do absolutely anything. I don't even have to understand it.
They do that, but they're even more self-defeating. Not to derail this too much, they're really self-defeating in a lot of other ways, to where, like, they'll look at a thing that's good and they'll be like, well, clearly there's something bad in the background of this thing that's hidden somewhere. And I'm like, really? You can't just, like, take a victory every now and then?
Well, right. There's this book called The Art of War by Sun Tzu, and I've read it a number of times. I recommend it.
I have never gotten all the way through it. It is that thought-provoking.
Wow.
It's a very short book, too. But one of the things he says is that if one knows thyself and they know their enemy, they need not worry about the outcome of 100 battles. If one knows not their enemy and knows themselves, then they will fare fair one of two battles. And so in order to be successful, 100 out of 100 battles, you have to know yourself and know your enemy. And if you don't know that the global power elite control the internet, then you don't know your enemy.
Really?
Do you think you control the internet?
For example,
I bet you couldn't have internet if you just didn't pay your bill.
Internet is not in any particular person's control. And in fact, it's pretty obvious, because you think that they would allow us to congregate? You think that I would have heard about the Free State Project if they had control over the internet? They don't have control over it. No one does.
Hmm. Okay. I mean, unless you're claiming the Free State Project is an inside job.
Well,
I mean, you were in the military, so can I really trust your silver?
He already said he has a silver back door.
Yeah, and
before I hear your back door theory, So let me ask this though: if the internet continues to exist, and if cryptocurrencies work as they appear and as they have a track record of appearing, then why would silver be better?
Well, first of all, you can't have cryptocurrency without silver, because all the devices you use to transmit or receive cryptocurrency have silver in them. So you can't say that you'd replace it. Say what?
But that's not what we're talking about. I'm not talking about the existence of silver in the universe. I'm talking about silver as a means of trade.
So silver is useful as a means of trade because of its usefulness as a material to make an infinite amount of things. For example, I have here, this is a sterling sword. It's solid sterling silver. In fact, we made
a whole bunch of these.
What?
It's an inferior sword.
You don't want to sword fight a steel sword with it. Because this is more for fun, but it's also a stacker tool that you have precious metals. You put it on your desk. It's like an ornament. But yeah, you want to go into battle, bring your steel sword. But this thing is so nice and fun. But the point is that silver, its value.
This brings up my other argument is like, okay, so let's say you're right. And the internet goes down, or there's a backdoor that somehow works for every single cryptocurrency, and you just can't figure a way.
Yep.
Okay, so why should I be accumulating and trading with silver when I could be using 9mm bullets?
Well, that's a great question, and I stack bullets, and I also stack maple syrup, lighters, candles, thousands of candles, thousands of lighters.
That's what I need to get in on.
Silver and gold.
Bitcoin then.
But here's the problem with ammunition, is that if someone wants to barter and trade me ammunition, it's not always the caliber I'm looking for. Or maybe some people don't even necessarily looking for ammunition. Also, it has to be stored in a low moisture environment.
Yeah, I was gonna say, can it get ruined?
So, and then the next thing is, how do I know that it's a good bullet?
It is very robust.
I like to buy my bullets.
It's really robust.
I like to buy bullets from like manufacturers that I've bought bullets from a lot of times, that I trust the quality of the bullets. So if someone shows up and they're like, oh, well, I want to trade you this bullet, it's hard for me to test the insides of that bullet and make sure it's good. I can very easily test and identify the silver. And it goes back to the fact that silver, its value is derived from its usefulness as a material to make an infinite amount of things. A bullet is derived from its usefulness to shoot.
A tiny amount of its value.
Say what?
I would agree with that too.
What did he say? If silver was
he said a tiny amount of the value.
A tiny amount of the value. What?
Yeah, no, I'm repeating what you said. A tiny amount of the value.
Ability to be used.
Yeah.
Can he just say it again, Colin? Can you hold on? Caller, can you just say that again? So one person at a time, I just couldn't hear what you said.
Yeah, I'm saying a tiny amount of silver's value is from its utility. Most of its value is from the same thing that gives Bitcoin value, the same thing that gives Dash value and all of them, that I expect to be able to get something more for it later on.
For 5,000 years, the human animal has been trading silver and gold, and there's never been a single time known that stopped, and that was because it was useful. But Federal Reserve notes and Bitcoin works on the idea that...
Let me put it to you this way, Dave.
You think you're going to trade it for something else later,
Dave.
You don't want to keep it.
If nobody was stacking silver... And by the way, I'm not against silver in any way. I like it. I have it, too. But if people weren't stacking silver and it was only being used as an industrial metal, like, you know, for the most part, copper is or zinc or something like that, then it wouldn't be $25-ish dollars an ounce like it is right now. It would be like five or four, some much, much lower number. The demand that's driving the price up is from the stackers.
No, the demand, most silver is consumed by industry every year.
It is.
No,
the
no,
price
no,
okay. of silver is industrial.
Hold
if
on,
you like
you,
cars...
Let me give you some evidence. Hey, Dave, let me give you some evidence.
Yeah.
So the evidence that that silver has what's called a monetary premium is that it also goes up and down when gold goes up and down, and it goes up and down when Bitcoin goes up and down. So it trades, for the most part, it trades not as a material, but as something that you accumulate because of its trade value.
Hold on. You're confusing two things. First, silver has a value as its usefulness. Second, Wall Street has a product called the ETF, which they just introduced for Bitcoin now as well.
Oh, right.
And the Bitcoin... can I just finish this? Can I just finish what I'm saying?
Make sure that you know the difference between a spot and a futures ETF, because they work in opposite ways.
Are there spot and future ETFs for Bitcoin and for silver?
Yeah, there are, actually. And the spot Bitcoin ETFs, ETF is the one that just came out, whereas the futures ETF, which is the one that suppresses the price, came out a long time ago.
The point I was going to make
there... The difference
there,
is that a futures doesn't have to be backed with the actual commodity.
That's correct. So the point that I want to make, and that's true, it is just promises for silver, so for something that they don't have, and most of the silver market is paper promises for silver for which there is no silver. And so a lot of experts believe that 99% of the silver market is just paper promises and no actually silver. So the price of silver is largely influenced by this paper market, which is a huge fraud. And so if you're looking at the price of silver, know that it is highly manipulated through that paper silver selling.
That's true.
Yes.
But that doesn't actually counter what Peakless Mountaineer is
saying. No, he's right about
or
what
I'm saying, because what they're doing with the paper product is they're driving the price down. But we're saying is that if it weren't for the fact that people wanted it as coins as well as an industrial, what we're saying is if it was just an industrial metal, the value would be way lower. It'd be like $5.
It would never be just an industrial metal, because as long as it's highly useful in industry, people would know it's valuable and they would hold it.
Whoa. That's true for what you just said. Is true for
bananas. It's true for squash, but those will go bad and they rot.
But what you just said is true for every single metal.
What you just said is true for like almost every single metal.
Yeah, except that silver is the most widely used. Let's just talk about silver
for a second on the periodic table.
Silver is the best conductor of any element on the periodic table
better
than gold. That's wow. right. Silver is a better conductor of electricity than gold.
Hold on, Peakless.
Because he interrupted
me
before and I didn't get to respond to any
silver
of his
Dave
things.
Hasn't responded in a second, so let's let him talk.
So silver is the best conductor of electricity of any material on the periodic table. Second, it is the best thermal conductor of thermal energy on the periodic table. There's no other element that conducts thermal energy better than silver. Third, silver is the best reflector of the light spectrum of any material on the planet. And if you like cameras, if you like solar panels, if you like electronics, if you like your computer, if you like your phone, silver is ingredients and all
yeah,
those
things. You can't
say
that about bananas.
You're making a circular argument. So what you're saying is you're like, well, silver can be used for all these things. And because it can be used for all these things, therefore...
That's what makes it valuable.
No. That's what makes it valuable for the use in those things. But what you then say is because it's useful as those things, therefore people want to stack it independently of that and save it. But I could say the same thing about copper. I mean, copper can be used in this and this. And there's certain things that copper can be used for that silver can't be used for, certain chemicals, things like that. But it would be one thing to say, oh, well, copper can be used in pipes and in this and in that. But because it can be used in that, therefore people want to stack it.
Because they know that the plumber is going to want copper to make pipes to put water in your house. And so they know that if they have it, they can trade it to him because it has a use. Digits on your computer screen have no use.
Oh, I'm not making an argument, and this argument that I'm making though isn't opposing it to Bitcoin at this point. I'm just saying that the price of silver, it's, well, all prices are set on the margin. So it's not just set by how much of it's traded. It's set by what the price is on the margin, what the final thing that it's sold for is used as, right? Because I'm lost for words at how to explain it. But if people were not stacking silver, right, just as they're not stacking all sorts of other metals that are even rarer and even more, what's the word?
Useful?
Noble, oh. Like platinum and palladium and things
what's
like that.
What's noble mean, like not reactive?
Yeah, non-reactive, because silver is actually way more reactive than, well, those other ones I just mentioned.
Palladium and platinum.
Yeah, So I wanted to come back around to the first point and give you a really good example of going too far and overestimating your opposition. So an example of going way too far in overestimating your opposition, there are some people that legitimately believe that the power and political elites are alien lizard people with advanced technology. And because their advanced technology is just unquestionable, then there's no point in even struggling against them.
I struggle with that thought sometimes because of the
this
Sumerian palettes.
Now, that's not true, except metaphorically.
Well,
very metaphorically true, but the evidence is very sparse for that. Now, and either way, you don't want to act like that's true.
Yeah, that's kind of the conclusion I've come to. I don't want to believe that.
I agree with what you're saying in the sense that, in fact, even my mother sometimes says, you know, don't give them so much credit. Mm. Sometimes thinking about, like, the government and that, like, they're really bungled. Yeah, and so she'll sometimes say that, oh, we're giving them too much credit.
But Dave,
it's your mother. Please don't call on Free Talk Live and talk about me again. It's so horrible.
Is that her? She has that kind of accent?
No, she doesn't sound like that at all. But I like to impersonate.
That's so cute.
So, but the thing is this. We were talking about not overestimating the global power elite and the government. Who do you think has... Well, before I say this, Bitcoin is all about computing power. And Bitcoin mining, tell me if I'm wrong, is all about doing computations. So it requires electricity and processor power. Am I right so far?
Yeah.
Okay. So who do you think has the most processing power? Do you think it is either A, Johnny and mother in his grandmother's basement, or do you think it is the government and the people that own them who have giant liquid-cooled data processing centers in several states
Johnnies?
Across America? They're in several states, including Arizona.
Dave? I think you're right,
yeah,
Dave.
They have giant liquid-cooled processing centers,
Dave,
and they have...
Well, I want to answer his question.
And they had...
Dave,
they had
Dave,
they invented the internet. Dave. They hired Alphabet Corporation.
But
so do you
the
think
same,
that
by
that
the
they don't
argument?
Have the
well,
most
wait,
power
let's
in the sector?
But
by the
let's
same
answer
argument,
okay, question. His
no, but
question
by the
is
same
who has
argument,
more. It seems
would,
to me like government
you,
does.
Right, okay.
Yeah, but why would
can
anybody even own
question?
A gun then at that point? Because they have bigger tanks. That's a good point.
How many Johnnies?
What was that?
How many Johnnies, Dave?
But even if you add all the Johnnies together, I honestly
how
think that
Johnnies?
Bitcoin... So he's saying how many individuals are mining Bitcoin themselves versus the government with their computing power. And I would still have to say, if I just had to guess, I really don't know that the government has the most. So what do you guys say to that?
So I know Colin gave a good example that helps me answer this. So if we know that the government has massive liquid-cooled data processing centers, and you have your computer that you bought from one of the companies, like that, they obviously have a lot more power in that sector than you. And Colin said, well, are you going to get rid of your pistol if they have a tank? Well, let's take it back to special forces. And it's called exploit your enemy's vulnerabilities. Don't fist fight a tank. If your enemy has way more data processing than you, don't say, well, I'm going to beat them in data processing. You might find a different way.
I'm saying something kind of like, different. If you say, oh, they have a big supercomputer, and what Peekless is saying here is, yeah, but all of the small computers added up together are more powerful than that supercomputer.
Great. Show me two people who agree on anything anymore.
But what I'm saying is, if by that same argument that you're making, oh, well, they have the supercomputer. Well, yeah, but they also have the tank too, right? And so, you know, do they have more power in tanks than all of the people do in pistols and things
yep.
like that?
I wouldn't bring your pistol to go fight a tank.
But if that's true, then why, and there are these evil people that are going to do that, then why haven't they just taken over already? Like, why are we talking right here on a radio show that's broadcast?
I think the fact that we didn't go as far as Australia, we as in the United States, didn't go as far as Australia as far as COVID was because we have guns.
I actually agree with that.
Probably, yeah, I agree.
But then that comes back to my point. I'm saying that there's millions of people with small guns, that's more powerful than, let's say, one tank. I mean, I don't want to get, well, you know, if you shoot it, it's not going to, no. I'm just saying, like, that many people with less power still adds up to more power.
I would want to know the exact numbers to know if it does, if this is a apples-to-apples comparison, like one tank versus millions of guns. I'd want to know the actual numbers, and I honestly don't. Maybe Peekless does know more about that, but the other thing that Dave is saying makes a lot of sense to me. He said, show me two people that agree on anything. Well, what do you guys say to that? Because those... Just because they're all Johnnies mining Bitcoin doesn't mean they're all best friends.
I'd love to speak to that if I wasn't on mute.
Oh, you're not. You're not on mute. Go ahead.
Oh, fantastic. Sorry, it beeped on me. Okay, yeah. So one thing I can tell you for sure is that absolutely everyone who's using and or mining any given cryptocurrency agrees on 100% of those rules. If you disagree on the slightest tiny thing, on one little bit, literally one or zero of the code that you're working with, then it won't work.
So you're saying that there is a motive to you can't even participate if you aren't agreeing on the rules. Yeah, well, I didn't really think that the people were going to just start changing the Bitcoin coding rules or something like that. I don't know.
But I'm saying that that is something that people agree on. We agree on what are the rules of DASH? What are the rules of BTC? What are the rules of XMR? These are things that either you agree on it or you simply aren't part of the network.
First,
and
you don't know.
They've done the calculations of all of those super liquid controlled computers, all of that. They've done the calculations. They've seen where the hashes are coming from. And they've seen that the calculations of the decentralized network are so immensely higher than any supercomputer. It's not even imaginable.
Did you have more you wanted to say, Peekless Mountaineer, after the break? Or did you?
I just wanted to hear his theory of why it's all trackable.
603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live coming up. Don't go anywhere. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
USA News Update. President Biden expressed his dissatisfaction with the humanitarian conditions in Gaza during a 30-minute phone call with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on Thursday. Here's Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
The results on the ground are woefully insufficient and unacceptable.
Blinken said the president urged Netanyahu to outline tangible measures aimed at mitigating civilian casualties and ensuring the safety of aid workers within Israel. The first week of April is proving itself to be true to its reputation as one of the most turbulent periods for tornado activity. Meteorologists have verified the occurrence of over 20 tornadoes across a dozen states this week. The only thing that can ruin the eclipse on April 8th? Clouds. And some are expected to show up. Texas and Ohio might not be the best spots thanks to the weather forecast that is calling for significant cloud cover. John Schaefer, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Control and 603-283-6160 is the phone number you can call in this last segment of the night on Free Talk Live. In Free Talk Live is brought to you by libertyminded.com. Official Free Talk Live gear like t-shirts and hoodies are available at libertyminded.com. Plus, you'll find a unique collection of cool and funny liberty-oriented clothing at libertyminded.com. That's libertyminded.com. I'm actually wearing, I don't know if I'm on camera right this second, but I'm wearing an LRN.FM t-shirt that I got from libertyminded.com, and I love it so much. It's red, and I love LRN.FM.
They make them that small.
And yes, they make them that small, Colin. But before, I mean, okay, so we have people on the lines, but before we get back into them, you've got me on the show tonight, Bonnie.
Colin.
Silver Dave.
And Silver Dave, I wanted to give you a second to explain something you want to explain. You said in less than 60 seconds, you can explain for the first time in history how there's a backdoor in Monero, Bitcoin, and everything, and how it can be exploited.
Mm-hmm. I'm counting.
Okay. All right. So first of all, a lot of people have said, okay, well, we're looking at the code and we don't see anything in the code of Bitcoin. Okay. Well, here you go. When you got your smartphone and you signed up for it and you had to agree to like 100 pages of terms and conditions, you also agreed to something that says that this phone is authorized access to any content on this phone. which, by the way, includes everything on your screen. And so every time you send Bitcoin or Monero and you type in your code on your screen, guess what? All that information is captured. And the global power elite with their digital liquid-cooled digital processing centers, they have that data. They have your codes for your Monero, for your Bitcoin. They literally can just watch it on your screen. So everything you do with your phone is 100% tracked and traced, and they could even, what they have your codes, they can put in a code. They can send your Monero to somebody else because they have your code, because they can access your screen, because you said yes when you got your phone. And you authorized it. I'm done.
Yeah, I'll make a quick little response to that. So I'm not going to say that it's completely true what you said, but what I will say is that you don't have to use these apps on your phones. And everybody I know who's serious into crypto doesn't store anything but insignificant amounts for daily transfers and things like that. And they keep their other stuff on other devices that are not phones, that don't have those end user
licenses. But they have that same thing on all the devices.
They run on,
and they don't have to tell you, because what they tell you is on the surface. That way they tell you that, but then what they don't tell you also exists.
Yeah, but if you do it on other sorts of devices with, you know, Linux or whatever, it's a different
operational security.
Okay, I hear you saying that, and it's interesting to see what people's response to this was. But the global power elite through the internet have access to everything your phone sees, your eyes see on your phone screen or your computer or your Linux or your Microsoft, all of it. You don't have to believe me.
Yeah.
But I'm just telling you that it goes back to what the caller said. Know thyself and know thy enemy. You have to understand that these guys are very powerful, and they produce and they print the money. So they have a huge budget to pay off and to hire all the technology for themselves, and that they have allowed cryptocurrency. Because here's the thing. 25 years ago, if you were to make something and call it a coin, you'd get in big trouble. And I'll give you an example. When we sell at Local Silver Mint in Ware, New Hampshire, where we have the best selection. LocalSilverMint.com.
Excellent.
And we have the best selection and the lowest prices on all types of silver and gold from around the world. But when we sell what's called a round, it's made by a private mint. When we sell a coin, it's made by a government mint. To call it a coin, it has to be made by a government mint. You can't make something and call it a coin and not get in trouble. Nextly, that cryptocurrency, the fact that 25 years ago, if you were to call something a currency or call it a coin and you tried to sell it or trade it, guys with helicopters and black suits would come at you in the middle of the night. But why is it that for the past 20 years, they've let there be cryptocurrency? They haven't gone after for calling something a coin, which historically they protected and wouldn't let you use. And I'll tell you the answer. And the answer, it goes back to
They did it to Ian. They argued in court that it is money because they call it a coin.
Mm-hmm. So that it goes back to the wild pig, how you catch a wild pig. You keep building a wall after another wall. And the trap of cryptocurrency is that you think it's safe, but the bait is that the price goes up. And so if your argument is that Bitcoin has gone up in dollar price, okay, great, you're right. It has gone up in dollar price. But that doesn't change the fact that it's nothing. It has no use to keep, and it's controlled by the global power elite as part of a trap. And they want you to think that it's freedom-based. But when they go to shut it off on you, that's once you've fully adopted it. It's just like you don't scare the pig.
I just don't think that you have established how they're going to shut it off on us. But I did want to bring Peakless Mountaineer back on the air for this discussion. I think we got kind of like the foundational things you wanted to say. So go ahead, Peakless Mountaineer. There was something else you wanted to bring up.
Yeah, so just to respond to what he said, there's a big difference between agreeing to it in the end user license agreement and them actually being capable of doing so. Now, if you'd like to present some evidence or somewhere I could go to find out that, oh, they actually have the power to get all of every single second of every screen of every phone on Earth, I'd love to see it.
Of course they do.
I don't think so.
Oh, they track everything that happens on the internet.
I'm more powerful than you could possibly imagine.
I have to say this to the whole entire thing that he just said. There's actually so many details and caveats that there's ways in which he's correct and a lot of ways in which he's wrong. And it's just too much to like even get into right now. But I will say this, it's up to each individual to be doing their due diligence and making sure that their devices are secure. But not just because of this crypto thing. Like if we take what Dave said at face value and say, oh, they're watching this, they're watching, we have even bigger problems because they're watching everything. And I mean, like, honestly, I know you have a phone and you have a computer and you're using it for all sorts of stuff every day.
Dave, I even take Bitcoin as payments for silver and gold. But I think my thing about it is Bitcoin is like dollars, only more traceable, more trackable, more dangerous. But it's the same in the sense that it's nothing. It's just digits, either on paper.
That's just patently false.
I accept Federal Reserve notes in order to help the customer. But we also accept
Federal Reserve notes are definitely more worthless. And Peakless Mountaineer, go ahead and explain why you think so.
Yeah, so even using the most trackable, the most traceable, it's not Bitcoin. As tracked and as traced as, Bitcoin is not as tracked and as traced as dollars, because you literally showed them your ID every time you used your account. And every someone gets cash, they get it
from a bank account
that is attached to an account. Like, all of that is very closely tied in with people's actual identities, their address, their social security number. Whereas if you set up a wallet and it hasn't been connected to you as a person, your ID, your number, your address, any of that, then that is less tracked and traced. Number two, there are cryptocurrencies that there is no tracking or tracing.
Yeah, I would have to say, like, Monero, like, if Monero was absolute, if it was traceable, why are they ignoring the probably thousands of drug purchases on the dark web every single day? Why haven't they decided to go after anyone for that?
Because they don't want to exert their control over cryptocurrency until the trap is fully laid.
I mean, why are they letting you make silver?
That's an article of faith. That is an article of faith.
I think it's pretty obvious. If you look at the same way that the Federal Reserve System was installed in 1907, followed by the 1913 Federal Reserve Act, the same, we are here, it is the same thing all over again, except it rhymes. It's not an exact repeat. And now here we are with 20,000 privately issued cryptocurrencies instead of 20,000 privately issued currencies. And so here we are all over again. So when you say
except that those privately issued currencies were tracked to individual locations. There was an address for every bank.
You could hand someone.
There was a door to kick down to tell them to stop.
Excellent point.
No one can find Satoshi Nakamoto to tell him to stop.
That's because he's fake.
You couldn't stop even if you could. And all of this is very decentralized and very disconnected from any physical address that allows them to enforce their will.
You think that you do something with your phone that you check your emails on, you think they can't tell that you're using the Bitcoin from that?
I think there are ways, yeah.
Okay. Well, so the thing is that when you hand someone a paper dollar, I can hand someone a paper dollar like without cameras on me and without writing a bunch of paperwork, and I might have a chance at having some privacy.
I have something to say about that. I'm not arguing against you.
Two-sentence point here. Give me 1 second. So if I hand someone a paper dollar and I'm not under cameras and it's not like a bunch of paperwork written for it, it's possible I'll have some privacy in who I'm trading with. But if you trade Bitcoin, it's on the blockchain, and as everyone has said, that's 100% viewable and trackable,
which is
so there's no way
that
you can do it. What if you want to buy a joint, but you can't do it because Klaus Schwab watches everything that you buy on the internet, and so you're going to buy it on the internet?
I told you to eat the bugs, not smoke the joints.
Well,
read his book. It'll definitely help you understand.
I do want to say this. This isn't exactly on silver or crypto, but this is something I want people to be aware of with dollars.
Oh, I just want to thank Pinkless Mountaineer for the call. I have a couple more callers I want to get into, so go ahead, Colin.
The thing is, all dollar bills are serialized. Now, as it stands right now, they're not really tracking those that closely. They do it for criminal investigations, like when they you know, like there's a ransom and they pay the guy, they'll mark all the bills, you know, or they'll write down those numbers and then see where they appear later and then find out who the person is. But now you're seeing these devices more and more and more. And, like, think about all of the, what are those, self-pay kiosks at, like, Walmart and stuff like that. I'm pretty sure they're going to start, if they already have actually, but they're going to start actually tracking the bills directly. And the same technology that allows you to do, what is that, Bitcoin analytics and kind of figure out where stuff's going, that'll be completely applicable to dollars too. So dollars are going to be just as bad as Bitcoin before.
Like, you'll be able to see, like, this dollar went from this hand to this hand to this hand.
Yeah, you're going to be able to very shortly. I'm predicting that. That's like a prediction I'm making right now. All the elements are in place for it, so it's just a matter of happening.
That's why the global power elite want a digital currency, so they can track its every move and so that they can control it.
And we can all agree on
that. I'm just saying that the dollars are not. I mean, what you're saying was true even just 10 years ago, but now I'm seeing these dollar scanning devices around, and I think they're going to be able to track that stuff too.
They're going to get rid of cash very soon.
Well, they don't necessarily need to. If people think that the cash is secure, but they're still tracking the serial numbers on it, then it's not.
The cash is going to. They're going to get rid of cash.
Yeah,
it's not much more time. And then when cash
they'd
is
like
gone,
to, but they don't necessarily have to, because I think a lot of people would react if they got rid of it.
Yeah, I think that would.
I can promise you
out.
At the banks. When you're dealing with cash, they are discouraging us to do large volumes of cash.
Yes, they were also saying there's a coin shortage during COVID-19.
That's all true. I'm just saying, I think enough people would react poorly if they tried doing that.
I think their
other solution to it is what I'm saying, where they're just going to start scanning all of it.
Get rid of cash if they roll out the CBDC, though.
I mean, well, let me put it this way. We sometimes think too much in binaries, like, oh, they want us to do A. Well, no. They set it up to where if we do A, they have a move. It's like on a chessboard. I'm going to do this if he does that. Mm-hmm. But if you do that, I'm going to do this.
Okay.
So if they can get rid of it and do a CBDC, they will. I'm just speaking of cash specifically. Yeah. But if they can't get rid of it because there's too much of a public outcry because people like using cash for various reasons, they'll just start scanning all of them and they'll be able to track them. But all right. Let's go to a caller.
I want to see unscreened caller. Do you have something to say about this topic?
Yes. So, kind of in response to myself from earlier, I was thinking about the issue about the microcode thing, specifically with the processors doing all kinds of crazy stuff. And I realized that to sign a cryptographic transaction, you really don't need a modern processor, or you don't need an AMD 64 or Intel x86 or anything like that. You can use really simple processors to do cryptographic operations that bypasses all of that. And they actually make, and I'm not super well versed in the crypto space for various reasons, but they make single board computers, tiny little things that you can keep on in your wallet, in your physical wallet. I mean, like in your pocket or on a keychain. And their sole purpose is to sign cryptographic transactions. And those use very simple processors, and the boards are very simple to examine and audit. Then the other thing, in response to Dave's, they're taking a screenshot of everything all the time. That is completely ridiculous, because in order for that to happen, in order for that data to get somewhere else, it has to pass through networks. And you can build a network. You can build a tapped network. You can tap your own network. You can see what data is flowing through it, and you can see where that data is going. So unless you have done that, unless you can show me how your phone or my phone or somebody's phone that has taken the trouble to install an aftermarket ROM like Graphene OS or something to that effect, unless you can show me how that data is going somewhere nefarious, I think you're making things up out of nowhere. It's just ridiculous to me.
I know that. My phone, when it was new, it made you agree to all these terms and conditions, including that this phone can access content on this phone. So I saw it.
Sure.
And but
there are de-Googled phones, too.
Yeah, but there. I still don't think you can do anything on the internet that's secret.
Well,
I think that it's more complex than that. I think that, like Colin was saying a moment ago, it's not this binary one or the other. I think that there's varying levels of privacy that you can get for yourself if you make the effort and do the research and set things up certain ways.
Because of convenience, most people do just choose the most Google-fied way. Like, honestly, I have an iPhone, and I'm probably pretty trackable, but I also don't really need as much security as some people might. I want to go, and thank you so much for the call. Normally we only do one call night, but I just made an exception because we have a very specific topic we're talking about tonight, and I'm making exceptions to things anyways. But I'm going to go to Skeeter on the lines from California. Skeeter, you said you hate silver. So what do you have to say about that to Silver Dave? Why would you hate silver? It's weird.
Yeah, your boy hates silver's money and the old head Luddites that love it, even though it keeps them in poverty.
Silver is totally poor. That's why he just gave everyone in the room a bunch of silver.
He probably is. He invested in silver, and silver was the worst performing asset last year, wasn't it? There are two types of demand with silver, right? Industrial and monetary. That's what you guys are trying to say. But monetary demand dwarfs industrial demand. You got
to
understand that, Dave.
You're trying
because
to.
Money is the most demanded good in an economy, right? I mean, that's why silver has lost gold in the gold-silver ratio. It lost the monetary battle.
Hold on. I think Silver Dave wants to respond.
Well, I would love to answer this, but the problem is there's a deep answer to explain why the silver-gold ratio is where it is, and we don't have time to do that. But you're incorrect, sir. Sorry to be rude, but yes, silver is more industrially used than monetarily used at this present time.
So what do you have to say to that, Skeeter?
And here's what I have to say to that. It cannot be money because it is too bulky. So value is derived objectively, right?
I think
money
he's angry.
Money has objective value based upon the intrinsic features of the money. And Aristotle defined these features. It has to be scarce, fungible, portable, right? Verifiable, all these things.
And intrinsic
and
worth.
Silver lacks that. You cannot store wealth in silver. It is too bulky. Have you ever seen a billionaire?
What? People do it all the time. I'm sure billionaires hold silver.
Millionaires and billionaires, they don't own physical silver.
Oh. Do they stack Bitcoin?
They probably do all of those things.
You can't transport it. You can't store it. If it gets milked,
you're just saying dumb things.
I like candles. I like lighters. I like all kinds of things. The problem with actual things is that they do require storage.
Space, yeah.
They do require space. They do require transport. So not actual things that are nothing are easier to send and receive, but actual things. But I don't think we have... I got to jump over that because I want to just take
this. Wow, he was angry.
Yeah, I think because people have an emotional attachment to cryptos, and that's one of the things.
Crypto too.
That gives
he's a hater.
Oh, well, I like him, you know, in some ways, but he's special. But that emotional reaction, you know, it might be because he had some event. But let me get back to the point is that everyone who's listened, I really appreciate everyone who's taken the time to tune in and listen to these points of view. And I thank you for hearing us out. And my main message is that whether you heard what we said and you feel like, well, maybe you are more interested in precious metals now, maybe you still feel like cryptocurrency is the way. And if that's the case, so be it. What I might suggest is that you might at least still consider a silver lining. And maybe you want to have a little diversification in not just crypto, and maybe you could have a little bit of physical silver or gold as well diversification. Yeah. And if that's the case, you may want to consider local silver mint in Ware, New Hampshire. We are the best store in New England. We have rows and rows of display cases with products on display with prices clearly posted. Thank you so much for asking. We have the common popular stuff like American silver eagles, Canadian maples, gold buffaloes. We have 1 ounce, 5 ounce, 10 ounce, 50 ounce, kilo, 100 ounce, 1,000 ounce bars. Whoa. We have all kinds of different things, but also we have some of my unique inventions like the Sterling Sword, which you might see me playing with here tonight. This thing is super fun. This is the half size one. But also, we make a product which we call Stealth Silver. And Stealth Silver hides in your toolbox. It's silver hammers, silver wrenches, and silver chisels. And when you put them in your toolbox, they look, they reflect the colors of your other tools, and you can't even tell they're silver. And so they hide, and they're government confiscation resistant.
That chisel, and it was horrible. It just completely didn't work.
Oh, when you pick this thing up, you will be like, oh my gosh, this is incredible, because it's so heavy. And we sold a whole lot of them. We also make, you've probably heard, we make 1/10 ounce silver for barters and trades. And if you want to shop in your local marketplace and you want to pay with silver, you hand them a little piece of silver, like our 1/10 ounce, which is perfect for barters and trades because they're only about $3 each. And so I really encourage that if you're interested in precious metals, come see me, Silver Dave, at local Silver Mint in Ware, New Hampshire, tax-free. Come see us. It'll be fun, and you will not be disappointed with our showroom. And if you're a crypto person and we haven't convinced you, maybe consider the silver lining.
I would like to say, it's good that you don't, it's good that we don't have to be convinced to not like crypto in order to like silver. I just love that we live in a world where there are multiple options to escape from the blood money, funding wars, unit of currency that is the U.S. dollar. That's the main
Every
thing
time
here.
You
we want to
escape dollar,
that.
You empower their system because you're using the thing that they borrow against.
It's
and
immoral.
Inflate against. Yeah,
it's immoral to use the U.S. dollar.
If I could say a couple of things, because I don't want anybody to think that I'm anti-metals. I actually like them a lot.
I love them.
Well, at Pork Fest, gold and silver were used more than crypto in the past, I don't know, like 3 years.
Crypto was down. People didn't want to spend it.
Well, no, not just that. I mean, it's hard to use it if there's not a network available, if your phone isn't charged, all sorts of things. I mean, I've had phones break on me just because they've gotten dropped during the day and stuff like that. It is way easier. I prefer for any small transactions, you know, just having actual gold or silver on me. And in fact, I carry them around all the time. And I show them to people, and I spend it all across the country. In fact, all across the world, I've spent gold and silver in Mexico.
I love how you can show like a gold bag to someone, or even one of these.
Yeah, it's easier to explain.
Local silver mint to someone, and they immediately are like, "Oh, this is not just like they don't even have to know all this background or anything. They're just like, this is obviously cool. It's worth something. It's beautiful. Like, it's eye catching." thank you so much. Thank you so much for being on the show with us, Silver Dave.
Thank you. This has been a ton of fun. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Free Talk Live, everyone. You can go to freetalklive.com for more. And we're on every night. We're live 4 nights a week. So thanks so much for listening. It's been Free Talk Live. Peace.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream to the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.